Welcome to the Change Your World Women's Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Ms. Patricia O'Brien. Patricia, why don't you take it from here?
Great. Thank you so much, Tanya. Yes, my name is Patricia O'Brien. I am a health and wellness advocate. For those of you that have heard me speak before, I'm very passionate about raising awareness about alkalinity. And there are a lot of subjects related to this topic. So this, some of the what I speak about in the beginning may be a bit of a review, but I will also go into some more specifics and details on foods and American foods. And after you've understood the beginning part of this conversation with your new found awareness, why you should be even more concerned about what steps to take and how you can take those by cutting out certain types of foods, becoming aware of being able to easily decipher which are more safe, which should definitely be purchased organic and such. And so to get right into the alkalinity topic, and again, you've probably heard me say this before, but cancer cannot live in an alkaline environment. And this is why I feel that alkalinity is a measure of health which should be instituted at the general practitioner level. That, you know, I'll be so bold as to say that. So I really feel that when you go into your doctor, and certainly when you're having a general checkup, but I think for any time that you go into your doctor, until we get this practice indoctrinated in to society and maybe forever, because they always do these other measures of health, I think that they should be checking this particular measure of health for you and advising you on it. I would say certainly most doctors will comment on your weight or your blood pressure or anything else that's out of the normal ranges. So when you go to the doctor, they're going to check your weight, and they've got your height on file, and they'll check your blood pressure, your other vital signs, and advise on those issues. It would be a very simple test to implement a check of your alkalinity. It can be done with just a pH test strip. The ones that I use, I bought them at Vitamin Shop. The brand is pH Ion Diagnostic pH Test Strips. Measures your body pH. You can do it through either urine or saliva. Now, ideally, you do it at the same time every day. Check it in the morning as soon as you get up, before you eat anything, before you brush your teeth. And that way you'll have the most accurate measure. Now, after you eat, then you want to wait a certain amount of time before you check it, if you're going to check it through saliva again. So you can always check it by urine, but it is going to be variable depending on what you've eaten or not eaten or how much water you've drank and such. It's still a starting point, though. So coming back to your situation at the doctor, you go to the doctor, he checks all your vital signs, and he would also give you this pH test strip. It takes 15 seconds. You just pull it in your urine stream, and it takes 15 seconds to develop. Right on the bottle, the brand that I mentioned, you'll be able to see the colors change, and you can see where you fall in the range. And this chart shows from 4.5 to 9.0. Now, pH, just to back up a bit on alkalinity is measured in a pH scale. pH meaning potential for hydrogen. It's measured from 0 to 14. 7 is right in the middle, so it's neither acid nor alkaline. Right above a 7, you're getting into the alkaline spot. Anything below 7 is considered towards the acidic end. But what's considered fairly normal and in the optimal range is right at about that 7.0. And if you could maintain a 6.75 consistently every day when you check, that would be quite good too. And it is worth mentioning that you can become too alkaline. That's not ideal either, but it's very difficult to do, as I share with you all the different factors that we have, some that you're not aware of that are creating acid in the body. Others are certainly your choice. And then there's other factors that you can't necessarily control, like how many of the materials in the place that you work are natural versus synthetic. If you work in an environment that has a lot of new carpet glue and paints that are not low VOC, they're all putting off gas, synthetic fabrics, all those things is putting toxins out. And since I just mentioned those are one of the points that can create acid in the body is an environmental toxins. The other things, first and foremost, this is something that you need to do anyway, but you need to be aware that it causes acid in the body, and that is exercise. So you'll want to exercise for the peace of mind that it gives you, obviously to stretch your ligaments, keep your bones strong, and your muscles, keep your peace of mind. But all exercise will create lactic acid in the body, even if you do it on a regular basis. It's also worth mentioning, as we talk about alkalinity, that every single person, obviously, is totally different. Even identical twins. I recently heard someone on a webinar asking questions about, well, my sister and I have eaten the similar amount of foods over the years, so why would I form cancer and she not? Or similar types of foods, almost identical. There are so many other factors. And so alkalinity, again, is not just, okay, this type of breathing, this type of paint fume for this person is going to produce a lot of acidity in the body versus this next person, which is why it's important that you test it and monitor it. So you will, in addition to exercise, also want to know that digestion, the metabolic process of digesting your food, produces acid in the body. And that's something you'd have to filter out and offset with alkalizing effects at all and strategies that I can discuss. Stress, of course, negative thoughts, just fear and perhaps in survival mode if you've got great concerns about money or any other, you know, a child or a loved one going through a difficult situation, the stress in your life and how you deal with it can by itself create acid in the body, and as I'm sure you've heard, it can create holes in the walls of your stomach and can give, you know, ulcers and such from worry. So stress, and everyone deals with stress differently, of course. Environmental toxins, also worth mentioning, of course, obviously is smoke. So if you've got any kind of secondhand smoke around you, or I've not seen the studies on these electronic cigarettes, but I tend to think that's probably putting out some type of a fume. So you'd want to reduce and be aware of the amount of environmental toxins that are around you. Again, my whole premise on this is educating you about alkalinity and the factors which can affect it so that you can reduce those acid-producing things in your life that you have control over and make decisions. You know, there are other things that you might not want to give up that have chemicals and such in them, such as perfumes and air fresheners and, you know, anything that's not a natural fragrance, you know, potpourri and things in the air, you're going to be breathing all these fumes in and your body is going to deal with them in one way or another, and some of your energy will be utilized to be getting that out of your body, out of your system. So, of course, one of my big focuses on alkalinity is in your food. And it's impossible, I feel, to address the food issue without talking about genetically modified foods as well as genetically engineered foods and food additives, preservatives, and all these other types of things that, left unchecked, can cause great amounts of acid in the body and produce a really great situation for cancer to take hold. Perhaps many of you have heard this idea that in our lifetimes, we will all supposedly form cancers of some type, you know, 5 to 20 times in our lives, but that a healthy body, which has the ability to fight it off, will contain it, control it, and you'll never know about it. So with that in mind, the idea would be if you want to reduce toxic load as often as possible, keep an alkaline environment where cancer cannot take hold, your body is equipped to expel the toxins that you come in contact with and naturally expel the lactic acid, which comes through your exercises as well as the metabolic processes of digestion that creates acid in the body. So you want to equip your body to be able to fight off all of that. The other thing I was going to mention, we're talking about the pH scale. So potential for hydrogen, that's your pH, and it's measured from 0 to 14, 7 being in the middle. We talked about the other fluids of the body, how they can range wildly. We talked about the saliva test as well as the urine test, and those can go, you know, as per these pH ion test strips, which are designed to be used either in urine, saliva. The scale here goes from 4.5 to 9.0, and the ideal range is right around 7.0. Another very important point to mention is the blood, the alkalinity of your blood. It's the only fluid in the body which is maintained by your very smart body in a very tight range, pH of 7.35 to 7.45. And I've actually heard a couple of different ranges. Some people say it's 7.30 to 7.40. But the point is it's a very tightly regulated automatically by your body measure of alkalinity. And if you're not creating that natural alkaline environment for your blood to maintain that range, then it's going to go find something alkalizing in your body. And the way that it does it is the minerals that are stored in your bones. So speak about the bones for a minute. Okay, so you consume minerals for a number of reasons, for, you know, your hair and your nails and your all the different systems and processes to work properly. And then also the calcium is stored in your bones. And ideally, of course, you would want it to stay there because the most important reason for those minerals being in the bones is to give it strength. And the second reason for the minerals being there is as a backup source for the blood alkalinity. So if your blood is, well, let's say you start with your body. If your body is constantly waving beneath the 7.0, which most people, say most Americans eating even fairly well, most Americans who are exposed to a fair amount of stress and environmental toxins and the preservatives and such that I'll mention in a moment here, just so many things and exercising hopefully and digesting, probably not in the 7.35 to 7.45 blood alkalinity range. So that means that your blood is going to be going to your bones and leaching out the minerals. And that can go on for years and years and years because there's really no reason for you to be monitoring your bone density when you're young. At least that's how it is in America. And so all this can be going on for years. And by the time you go and get a bone density test done, because your blood has been leaching those minerals out of the bones for years, all of a sudden you've got osteoporosis. And it has become a very acceptable thing for people to get both knees replaced, both hips replaced, and from breaking them, you know, or, you know, too much weight or just fragility of the bones. And it shouldn't be that way. And yet, if we were on top of the alkaline piece, people are not going to be suddenly realizing that they have osteoporosis when they're 55 and they've had a bone density test. Another thing, speaking about bone density, there are these full-body vibration therapy machines. You may want to look into that. It's just a machine that you stand on, and it vibrates. They've got a number of different types out there. I've got one that, you know, has an intensity from 0 to 60. You know, you can go as intense as you want. It was the technology was invented by the Russians for use in space to create kind of a G-force, really. You go back to the 80s when they did the rebounders, little jump up and down rebounders to move their whole lymph system. But what it does is it helps with bone density. So in space, they can stand on these. There's handles. You hold on to it. It's just a platform, and you turn it on to the level that you're comfortable with, and you can just stand there, or you can also sit. You can put one leg on. You can do the yoga plank on it. You can do all kinds of things. But that is one way also to increase and maintain bone density, and this technology has been out there for, you know, 50 years. And one thing I do want to mention, the latest and greatest in health and wellness, those topics, those insights, the new superfoods and all that, they're great to pay attention to, and it's wonderful when they come forth. But the things that I'm talking about, such as alkalinity and the fact that cancer cannot live in an alkaline environment, is not a new concept. So what I'm giving you are proven, simple facts that have not been refuted, have not changed in decades. And once you realize the importance of creating an alkaline environment and what you can do to affect it, and then it's up to you. You do not want to have to be waiting for the established medical community to bring an edict down that requires, you know, at the general practitioner level for your doctor to have this conversation with you. I'll give a quick example on that is, you know, in the 1950s when they came out with margarine, immediately there were lots of doctors, you know, who knows, that's its own theory, and I've heard lots of different stories on how it actually came to be approved and got on our shelves in mass quantities. But there were lots of doctors in the 50s that kept telling the FDA that it was not safe, really not safe. These trans fats, and our body was viewing it as plastic and encapsulating it in fat. And it took them, the FDA, more than 50 years to finally require that the big food industry start phasing it out. And they never actually required that they phase it out completely. They just said that each serving, so let's say of crackers, Triscuits or something, cannot have more than 0.5 grams of trans fats. So what that means is if you eat several servings, you're getting a couple grams, you know, or the whole box, goodness forbid. So if you do not want to have to wait on our regulatory organizations to be the ones to tell you. I mean, I'm giving you the facts about alkalinity and why it should be important to you and what you can do to monitor it every day and some steps you can take to reduce your toxic load. That is my big, big passion and platform and message that I want to educate you about and give you resources for. My website, it's a work in progress, but I will continue to develop it and such. It's liveacleanlife.com, and it will continue to have more links and good reference points for you to go to. There are a lot of different resources out there on this type of subject, on the subject matter and related subject matter, and I want to provide those for you and so that you feel empowered and that you don't get overwhelmed. And again, there's always going to be latest and greatest, newest information coming out. If you stick to this fact that you measure you yourself every morning, measure with a pH test strip your alkalinity and chart it and pay attention. You know, why, oh my goodness, why am I at a 5.0 today? You have to think about, okay, well, is there a lot of toxic fumes? Is it my mindset? A couple of things that I do personally to maintain mine at a 7.0 is apple cider vinegar with a little bit of water. You can also do lemon juice if you don't like the apple cider vinegar. Or if you can handle it, the baking soda and water, all of those are very alkalizing. The other thing I highly recommend is liquid minerals. The brand that I use is called MegaMins from Unicity, and it's a blend of minerals, and I take those every day. But I also do notice that some days I'm more acidic than I would have expected. And even though I feel like I'm not eating toxic foods and such, it just makes you think, and it keeps you aware. And I don't know anyone, unless maybe you're on the raw food diet, and even still you're having digestive processes, you're most likely, if you're living in the city, being exposed to toxic environments and chemicals and maybe other people's perfumes and hand lotions, and so you're coming into contact with a lot of things and your own stress. I don't know how you could easily maintain above a 7.0 consistently unless you're living out in the country, growing your own food, and greatly reduce toxic levels and such. So it's very important that you pay attention to all that. As far as the foods go, even before I speak about the chemicals that are in foods, meat and dairy, those are acid-producing foods. Now, there are things in them that are good, and for some people, they're not so good, say if you have a lactose intolerance or such, and you can make your decisions on what types of meats you want to eat. But it's very important that you are aware that those foods, and generally breads, grains, those are going to be acid-producing. So your alkalizing foods, what's left, is fresh fruits and vegetables. And fresh, raw, uncooked, obviously organic, because you don't want to be increasing your toxic load with pesticides and whatever else they've added to it, injections and hormones and such. Those are going to be the most alkalizing foods, and there are a plethora of charts available on from acid to alkaline, and it shows the different scale, how many foods, which foods are on this end, which foods are over here. A couple of resources I want to direct you to, something called the Environmental Working Group. Every year they come out with their Dirty Dozen and their Clean 15. And what this is a list of, and you want to look at this every year because they do an analysis specifically for consumers like you and I to go out and be able to use this as a little shopping list. The Dirty Dozen, these foods have been shown most recently that's in the general, what's generally available on the grocery store shelves to be the most full of pesticides and toxins and such, so you'd want to invest in organic in these foods. On this list this year, it's apples, celery, cherry tomatoes, cucumbers, grapes, nectarines, hot peppers, kale, collard greens, sweet bell peppers, strawberries, spinach, snap peas, potatoes, and peaches. So that's a lot of things, but you want to know where to spend the extra dollars. And on the Clean 15, this is the Clean 15, the ones that have been shown to have the least amount of toxins and that you could more easily get away with not investing the extra money in the organic. Asparagus, avocados, cabbage, cantaloupe, cauliflower, eggplant, grapefruit, kiwi, sweet potatoes, sweet peas, sweet corn, pineapples, papayas, onions, mangoes. And again, just go to the Environmental Working Group's website and you can print out that list and keep it with you, and you know, when you're making your shopping list and when you're out and about. And of course, as far as that goes, you'd want to go to your farmer's market if you have the possibility of doing that, you know, eating local, reducing toxic load on the environment for transport, and most likely getting organic and very clean, and supporting local. Some other resources, if you are not already connected to Mercola.com, that's Dr. Mercola, lot of information there. One particular thing that I would direct you to is his thing about 10 banned foods that Americans should stop eating. This talks about the foods and why that in other countries, Australia, New Zealand, Russia, the European nation, mainland China, Taiwan, these foods and the preservatives and such that are associated with them have been banned in other countries. So again, don't wait on our FDA. Take the reins in your own hands, become educated about these top 10 foods, and pay attention and just cut them out. It's just not worth it. The other thing I would also mention to you is called thetruthaboutcancer.com. Ty Bollinger has a very compelling story about why he does what he does, and I love his videos, and oftentimes he'll have them for free to preview, and then you can purchase his series. Again, my website is liveacleanlife.com, and I did publish a children's book, Magic Food for Me, to get kids to associate fresh fruits and vegetables with vitality, good behavior, and happiness. And again, the underlying message with that is just get them headed in the right direction early so that they'll have good habits, and assuming that we're in the organic realm there, that they'll be creating a more alkaline environment. So a very simplified message for children. So you can check that out at magicfoodforme.com, or you can also look for me at the liveacleanlife.com. You can reach me through email at patriciaeobryan@yahoo.com. That's patriciaeobryan@yahoo.com. Thank you so much.